Many people are not loving the European Union.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The results of the European elections are causing what some commentators are calling a political earthquake today in the world's largest trading bloc. Veteran Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us from London. Morning, Stephen.
Hello, David.
So help me with this here. 70% of the seats in the European Parliament are still controlled by politicians who are pro-EU. So how do we end up with these headlines about political earthquake?
Well, because this vote did show a big upsurge in hostility to the European Union and the euro for obvious reasons. The crisis in the eurozone, the very high unemployment, austerity. This was a big vote of dissatisfaction. And in two countries in particular, France and Germany, it was pretty devastating.
It's also of note here that some voters were rejecting not just closer European integration, but actually the idea of being part of the EU itself.
Absolutely. And especially in France, where the National Front came top of the poll. This is a party that wants, in the words of its leader, to destroy the EU from within. At the very least, it's going to make it very difficult to deliver what economists believe is essential for the survival of the euro, things like fiscal union, banking union, and so on.
Now, Britain doesn't use the euro, a set of islands that has always had a strand of skepticism about the continent. Why is this election result significant there?
Well, in a sense, you're right. It wasn't a surprise, but nevertheless, it was an historic victory for the Eurosceptic UK Independence Party. First time a fringe party's won a nationwide election in Britain. And this could have big repercussions for the whole of the EU, because there could be a referendum on Britain's membership of the EU in 2017. If there is, and the Brits vote the way they just voted in these European parliamentary elections, Britain would pull out of the EU. And that's the EU's third biggest economy. Now, we're still a very long way away from that, but UKIP's success is at least one small step down that road.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
The financial markets are closed in the U.S. for Memorial Day and for a more general bank holiday in Britain. But somebody's actually at work today wearing a suit, so let's do the numbers. The DAX index in Germany is currently up 0.9%. The CAC 40 index in Paris is up 0.3%. The Nikkei in Japan closed up about 1%. The key stock index in Hong Kong fell slightly. Earlier this spring, New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo presented a plan concerning higher education. He said the state of New York would pay for college for prison inmates. This idea ran into protests from people saying it isn't fair at a time when middle-class families are struggling to pay for college themselves. Alisa Roth looks at the Bard Prison Initiative, one of the largest of these programs in the country.
Listening to these students discussing the Odyssey, it's hard not to imagine the story has some extra significance for them.
Fatherly duties. I guess if I were so deceased, I'll be grateful.
They're sitting in this classroom, which feels like it could be anywhere, and they're talking about when Odysseus comes home after having been away for years.
So you won't be betrayed by anybody.
The class is a first-year seminar at Bard College, but it's being taught at the Woodburn Correctional Facility, which is a medium-security prison in upstate New York.
Nothing prepares people for the challenges of the workforce like a liberal education.
Max Kenner started the Bard Prison Initiative in 1999.
Liberal education is the best vocational education we can provide because it trains people to respond to the dynamics of their circumstances.
The pool of graduates is small. It's not quite 300 people. But Kenner says that of the alumni who are still in touch, most have gotten jobs or continued their educations after they left prison. And he says that it's actually really cheap to run a college program in prison.
The round number that we've come up with is roughly $5,000 a year. That is books, teachers, and the administrative cost of, you know, staff or the people who oversee the programs.
The RAND Corporation did a study recently and found that the real economic benefit of educating inmates is that it makes them less likely to come back to prison. Lois Davis is one of the report's authors.
For every dollar spent on a correctional education program, you save about $45 the reincarceration costs. That's a huge difference in terms of cost effectiveness.
Jobs can help keep people from coming back to prison, but it can be hard to find work when you have a felony conviction. Francisco Feria has been incarcerated since he was 16 for robbery and assault. He got his GED in the county jail. Now he's 24, and he's hoping a college degree will help other people realize how much he's grown up.
College or not, as you know, I'm still considered a felon, you know. I have committed a crime, and that's always going to follow me throughout my whole life. But I just think that college just boosts our chances up just that much more.
Feria got his associate's degree earlier this spring. He plans to spend the last 2 years of his sentence getting his bachelor's. In Woodburn, New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And when it comes to statistics here on Marketplace, we try to consistently, if not always successfully, distinguish between correlation and causation. Just because things happen together doesn't mean one caused the other, right? Well, a Harvard student has put up a website called Spurious Correlations that looks for ridiculous cases of this. Is the divorce rate really tied to per capita consumption of margarine in Maine? And then you should see the two graphs moving in tandem, showing the number of people who drown in swimming pools apparently correlates with the number of films in which Nicolas Cage appears. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.